Continuing the conversation now here at the Steve Gerber Show. Remember, you can follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. And, of course, if you ever miss an interview, go to stevegruber.com. Stevegruber.com. Our next guest, you'd find quite an inventory of great interviews, conversation, and information concerning firearms especially. Dr. John Lott is the president of the Crime Prevention Research Center. You can find him at crimeresearch.org as well. Doctor, good to have you back. Happy New Year.
Good morning. Good morning. Happy New Year to you, too.
Good to have you here. All right, so a couple of military base shootings in recent years got the attention, well, got my attention and a lot of other people, too, saying, you know, why is it that people on active military bases, many of them, are prohibited from carrying firearms? Because when they came under attack, and it seemed awfully unusual to me, they were basically defenseless. What was the reasoning behind that to begin with? Do you know?
Yeah. Back at the end of the first Bush administration, George H.W. Bush, the senior, there was this desire to make the military more, quote-unquote, professional, try to model it after the way businesses offices would operate. And, you know, the point was to them that, look, if you looked around, you didn't see people in businesses carrying around guns with them. So they should model the military after that. And the rules were started to be put in place at the end of the George H.W. Bush administration, and then President Clinton actually put them in place. So it had nothing to do with any concerns about, you know, accidental shots or other types of things going on. It was just that concern about trying to make them more professional. The irony is also that that only changed really for U.S. bases. You look at bases that we had in Iran or Iraq, for example. I mean, Iraq or Afghanistan, for example. And military personnel were actually required to have their weapons with them whenever they were on those bases. My son, who served in Afghanistan, would tell me how he was mandated to keep his weapon with him, whether he went to the restroom, whether he went to the weight room, whether he went, you know, was on duty. He was an intelligence officer. Whether he went to the mess hall, any of those places, he had to have his gun with him. But yet, when he came back to the United States and was stationed at Fort Hood, he was actually there when the second Fort Hood shooting occurred. He was about a block or so away from where the attack happened. He was disarmed, as well as everybody else that was with him.
And so now there's some changes coming, though, because, you know, because of stories like the one you just shared with your son, and I'm so thankful he was a block away, but there's some changes coming because people are like, no, wait a second. They are professional soldiers, and I understand the idea of looking more attractive, I guess, to the civilian world as you're trying to recruit people. I understand that, but it doesn't apply well, does it?
No, I mean, the military is involved in a completely different line of business than civilians are. And, you know, even many civilian businesses now have very different rules than they had, you know, a couple decades plus ago during the Bush administration, the first Bush administration there. And so, you know, I think there's gradually been some change. One of the top people at the Marines has recently, in the last week or so, issued a new rule that allows some non-MP Marines to go and carry weapons with them. I wish it was much broader than that, but at least it's a start moving in the right direction.
Right. So the Marines are making this step forward, but they're carrying concealed on base. You know, I heard this question to Elizabeth Warren, and it just strikes me, the concealed carry. A gentleman at one of her rallies here a few days ago, you might have seen this, asked her directly, would you support a national carry law if there was licensing and universal background checks for those that would carry a firearm? And she said, absolutely not. So it just goes to show you, by the way, that even with universal background checks as they demand, and even licensing, which most gun owners, you know, don't like the idea of, the guy phrased the question perfectly. Elizabeth Warren still said, and I bear with me, but she shot it down. And that doesn't surprise me, and probably doesn't surprise you either.
Right. You know, it's amazing that you have 8 Democratic senators come from states that recognize either all or all but one of the other states in the country. And the one state that a couple of them don't recognize is Vermont, which doesn't issue a permit. But even Virginia, which has two Democratic senators who have voted for reciprocity in the past, now oppose it, even though Virginia recognizes your ability to carry if you're from any of the other 49 states and either have a permit or in a place like Vermont, simply have a driver's license from Vermont, you're allowed to carry in Virginia. And there's no problems that have arisen. They can't point to any problems that have arisen in their states from allowing that type of reciprocity. You know, that's even much more extreme rule than you have in that Senator Warren was being asked about.
Sure.
One of the things that you mentioned was that training would be mandated for somebody to get that license. And right now, Vermont, you don't even need a license. You just have to have your regular driver's license.
But the point being is that she opposes guns, period. Doesn't care about the background check. That's just another ploy to move closer to their ultimate goal, in my estimation, which is disarming everyone. Am I right or wrong?
Well, unfortunately, I think you're right. I think if you've listened to any of the debates that have occurred,
sure,
the Democratic presidential debates, it's all been kind of trying to outdo each other in terms of gun control regulations. Nobody's had anything positive to say about people owning guns or any benefit or even acknowledging that people might even use guns in self-defense. In fact, even after the church shooting that we just had that was stopped by a concealed carry permit holder and other permit holders that were there in the facility,
They argue against the guns still. You're exactly right. I'm appalled, but I have to leave it there, Doctor. But more great information, another great interview. You can go to crimeresearch.org, find all the books that the doctor has written, and find out these great articles and appearances. And Dr. John Lott, we greatly appreciate it, and Happy New Year.
Happy New Year. Thank you.
You know, people still walk up to me and say, "Man, have you lost weight?" I'm Steve Gruber, and I did lose weight, a lot of it. I did it with My Pure Health Solutions, formerly Nutrimost. I'm still surprised because it's been almost 2 years since I made the decision to drop the pounds. And with My Pure Health Solutions, I did it with a custom plan built just for me. And I'm so happy I did. I feel better. People tell me I look better. I lost 40 pounds. I still feel great. Find out more at GruberHealth.com. GruberHealth.com. That's GruberHealth.com. Believe me, if I could do it, so can you.
I'm asking teens like me, what are your plans for the future?
Definitely going to college. Absolutely.
We're going to the state championship.
I'm getting a great job. You know, something I love.
I want to travel, see the world.
No one said teen pregnancy. Say yes to your plans. Say yes to a brighter future. Learn more at michigan.gov/abstinence. Sponsored by the Michigan Department of Health and Human Services and the Michigan Association of Broadcasters.